League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. I just saw the Tommy Wave live.
Yeah,
from
we're together.
This room is very exciting. We, of course, have been at the Dutch Grand Prix, so we are together to do this podcast. Katie, unfortunately, still with her orange pillows back at home. Tommy, the WTF1 founder, of course, have to mention that, especially when we're in person. Otherwise, I'm in big doo-doo.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I very much enjoyed the Dutch Grand Prix. We were obviously there. I'm sure people will have seen. And yeah, I think it was a lot more enjoyable to be there from the sound of it, but we'll get into that.
Yes. And Katie, you were, of course, watching it from home. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, the atmosphere looked amazing. Like, obviously, I saw your photos and stuff like that, but also watching it on telly, it looked insane. It's a shame the on-track action didn't quite level up to the off-track things that were going on, but still, nonetheless, an okay race. I think you mentioned it on IBR, like, we've had so many good races this year that naturally anyone that wasn't, like, amazing is going to stand out as being a little bit, not boring, but yeah.
I think we're going to rely a lot on Katie in this podcast because obviously me and Matt were there, and if you've ever been to a Grand Prix, you'll probably know you don't really absorb the race long. We've been very busy with video, so we're going to rely on you a lot, I feel.
Oh, no, we still know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we know what we're talking about. We may just miss
in the stands. Miss a Crofty thing or whatever,
yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we got a reasonable idea of what happened in the race.
Hopefully. Speak for yourself.
That's why we're here. Anyway, let's dive into some three-word race
podcast,
reviews.
If not.
Yeah, it will. Let's get into some three-word race reviews then. At JRanan13, Super Max Max. At FR_ML1_, Simply Lovely. It's the three-word race reviews of repeating this week. And also at Vince_DeHitter. Abort fastest lap. So a lot about Max, shock. And of course, the Bottas incident, which I'm sure we'll dive into. We actually enjoyed that Super Max Max in person, didn't we
did.
Tommy? Not to rub it in, Katie, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll get a bit over first with my three-head race view, I guess.
Go on then.
Oh, shall I go for it?
See the
shall
right
I go
the
for lead? It? Okay, we're looking right. Together.
Oh, I'm off.
Tommy's leading.
I need you here because, you know, mine is what an atmosphere.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, you would have seen the Instagram post. I mean, I've been to a lot of Grand Prix. I've been to some incredible Grand Prix, amazing tracks and stuff. But for me, I've never seen that kind of atmosphere at a Grand Prix. It felt, I think you said it when we were there, it felt like the World Cup or something. Because when we drove into the circuit, there were fans there, like walking to the track, and people on orange bicycles with like checkered flags on. People had checkered flags outside their house. People had sprayed like Max Verstappen on the side of their houses and stuff. I've never seen anything like that, where even when you're half an hour away from the track, you know there's a Grand Prix on. It's quite rare in that sense. You know, obviously when you get there, you know there's the Grand Prix, but I've never seen like such a whole country be so excited for it. And then obviously, you know, it's the perfect storm really of Max being on it this year and able to win. It's the first Dutch Grand Prix in 36 years. The fans.
I love how you know that fact off by heart.
Yeah, exactly. the fans are back, and yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, the Dutch fans were ridiculous. We were in the main grandstand, weren't we? And there was a funny song that apparently is a traditional Dutch football song, which is "It's Quiet on the Other Side," I think it is.
Yeah, something like that.
Something
yeah.
along those lines. Sorry if I got that wrong. But basically, in football, you like go back and forth, try and get the other people to sing. So people were singing that to try and get F1 Paddock Club that was opposite us to try and make some noise. And they were, and then F1 Paddock Club were like cheering and banging on the boards of the pit straight to try and make some noise. Never, ever seen anything like it at a Grand Prix. It was so
cool. Especially people in Paddock Club, you know.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what I mean. They're the big dogs. Everyone was getting involved. It was just epic.
It was so good. Yeah, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Of course, during the race, I'm not going to lie, you know, it did obviously become quite flat because it's not like a football game where you have consistent highs and lows, you know, and people through on goal. Of course, we didn't exactly have the biggest amount of, you know, on-track action in terms of, you know, fight for the lead and whatnot. But the before and the after was just ridiculous. It was like a festival with some racing, you know, somewhere in between. So it was, yeah, it was so awesome. And you know, it brings a smile to my face just thinking about, you know, all these fans so passionate. Of course, a lot of them to do with Max passionate, of course, you know, wearing the t-shirt as well. There you go. There's
very
a little
good.
Plug.
Little plug, yeah.
Yeah. Very passionate.
Oh, very passionate. And of course, you, I mean, you mentioned the fans. You even got a fan to give you one of the capes, didn't you? You know, oh, I really want a Max cape.
Yeah, shout out to that legendary guy.
But instead of purchasing it, you said, here's a Twitter coupon for giving you. You were like, oh, what's your handle? I'll do you a tweet.
I didn't say that. I just said that afterwards. Because I was like, oh, I want a cape. And then he came to our little fan meetup and was like, I got your cape. I was like, oh, what? Best fans,
and then you handed out a verified Twitter coupon and said, I will mention you in a tweet. No, it was very cool.
Very
it was
cool.
A very cool cape. If there was a Charles Leclerc version of it, I would have definitely had one.
It sounds like it was so much fun. Did you find that your clothes were like got orange powder on them from like the flares and stuff? Because there seemed to be so many of those going off.
Well, I was wearing red, so it doesn't really although I'm not sure it comes across in the video. It looks more orange in the video, but yeah,
isn't
not so
be?
Much. If you're wearing,
like
if you're wearing a white t-shirt, then I think you would have probably not come out with that color. But and to be fair, like the flares going off, I've been absolutely, I said it in Internet Special Reactions, I've been absolutely fuming if someone in front of me just ripped open a flare, you know, and then you just can't see anything. I felt really sorry for the people that were just right behind the flares because I'm not sure they would have been able to see anything. The grandstand as well was quite difficult for viewing as well. I think
because everyone was stood up for the first three laps, kind of like a football game. Yeah, it was like
it's quite difficult
to
see
barely
the
see the track.
Yeah,
like, you could see the car on the far side, but not the close cars, if you like.
Let's dive into a question. At slowly underscore dying 16. What a lovely name. Hope you're okay. Was it really a boring race or was the coverage too focused on the top three to accurately show the action further back? Well, of course, we're going to have to go to our correspondent on the ground, Katie. Well, actually, no, we're on the ground.
Yeah, you're on the ground.
Katie Fairman. From our perspective, it was, you know, in the grandstands, it didn't really feel like a great race. But I guess you lack that storytelling, as, you know, Tommy mentioned, you know, you don't really get the feeling that you've even watched the race. Was it interesting, Katie?
It was interesting strategy-wise, but in terms of actual
sorry
TV...
if you just heard an echo. I thought I could turn you down slightly because I didn't want your microphone to come through my microphone and ended up turning on the actual laptop audio.
Yeah, do
carrying
that.
On. Anyway, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying, like strategy-wise, it was very interesting because things seemed to change as the race went on and different calls were made. But in terms of actual TV direction, we seem to have missed like loads of good overtakes. And seeing as there weren't very many overtakes, it was quite disappointing. Like towards the end of the race, Fernando Alonso managed to get past Carlos Sainz, which is an important move that just wasn't shown. And apparently the lap before that, Alonso almost binned it at turn three, going up the banking thing that they've got going on there that also wasn't picked up. But overall, it was okay. I mean, it's better than a non-race that we had literally last weekend. So, I mean, I'll take what I can.
Yeah, you kind of alluded it to in the very start that a race where admittedly Max, I wouldn't say dominate. Well, he did dominate, but in terms of like there was a chance that Lewis could, you know, do the undercut. So there was a bit of the tension there. Fair few overtakes, generally thought there might be, you know, like a Monaco situation where you literally couldn't pass, but there were a fair few and it showed that even if you're on better tyres, you could actually make the move, even if it was tricky. yeah, it's one of those things where if that's a bad race in 2021, 2021 is a very good season, because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend it was the best race in the world, but there was a lot, you know, you saw a fair few bit of passing, more surprising than I expected. But for me, I really started to notice it, particularly at the end of the race when, you know, it was so obvious Perez was catching Norris, and you're like, right, there's going to be an overtake here. You know, we were obviously in the stand, so we could see him flying down the main straight side by side. And you're looking up at the TV screen going, they're showing a replay of Max Verstappen locking up.
It happened so many times,
and we could see it, and all the crowd were up and cheering because you could see two cars going side by side into turn one, and you're just looking at the monitor above you, like the big screen, and it's like they're not showing. Yeah,
everything felt
this.
Like a replay, didn't it? Everything was like even the, you know, the Perez Norris.
Well, that was such a pivotal moment, and it loses all the excitement when it's a replay rather than
it's
live.
Already happened. Exactly, that's the whole point of live sport.
We know the outcome of this already, but here's a replay.
Exactly. Whereas this could, anything could happen right now. We knew that there wasn't a yellow flag or a safety car or whatever from that particular incident, and it does take the fizz out of it. And it was so weird how I don't understand what the problem was, because they were literally showing irrelevant things. Like even like Hamilton trying to close in on Verstappen, like 2.5 seconds back or something. And you're going, well, there's not going to be an overtake here at all. I know they obviously have to show the leaders, but at the same time, there are literal battles going on. And turn one was great. Like the way that, you know, a lot of cars were able to swoop around the outside because of the way of the banking was brilliant.
That was a really exciting corner, actually.
I don't feel like the track actually was given probably enough credit because of the way the broadcast sort of showed it.
Yeah, because those overtakes, it was actually the best way to go. You know, someone covers on the inside, but actually the outside line is the quicker line to go through, and you kind of sweep around the outside. And it's quite cool to see that kind of overtake, because we're used to a lot of DRS passes on the main straight. They're already done by the braking zone. So it's actually quite nice to see those sort of passes. But unfortunately, a lot of them seem to have been missed out.
It did indeed. Another question at F1 Margs. Do you think the changes to the 2022 cars are going to make for a more exciting Zandvoort race next year, with possibly more overtakes? Well, Margs, I think hopefully every single racetrack is going to have the opportunity to have more overtakes. Zandvoort may be one of the ones that maybe doesn't have as much of an impact, because it's more around just the fact that it is a very narrow track. And even though the cars are changing and it's going to be easier to follow, at the same time, as Katie's getting all sorts of messages and very popular indeed, I feel like Zandvoort maybe is the one that will always struggle because of the fact that it is very much single file, unless you have cars the size of little micro machines or something. You know, I don't think they're really going to be able to race through a lot of that part of the circuit. You know, the middle section is very much single file. It's like a roller coaster, and then turn one is your best opportunity. I can't see it changing much.
No, I think, yeah, I was going to say,
I looked at you, but
just, you can't help but stare at Tommy. It's fine. I think hopefully the 2022 regulations will help, but Zandvoort is a very narrow track, as you referred to there. And we knew coming into this weekend, with all series that were there, with W Series, F3, the Porsche Super Cup, that overtaking is going to be a challenge just because of the nature of the track. There might be some changes next year. There was talk of DRS being put in at the final banking, but that was sort of denied a few days before the race because the FIA just decided that it wasn't the right thing to do. But hopefully now they've actually got some real life data and that kind of stuff, it might be that we have DRS in that final bit at the end of the track for next year, which could help with overtaking as well. But I'm not expecting to come back next year and it be like a million overtakes or anything like that. People like Sergio Perez proved that it is possible to overtake, but then you've also got to consider that he is in arguably the fastest car on the grid that weekend, and he's passing cars that are much, much slower than him. And I mean, he's known for being a bit of a legend, starting from the pit lane and fighting his way up. So I think we can't use Sergio Perez as an example of like, well, if Perez can do it, then everyone should be doing it, because that's just not the right comparison to make, but overall, we're going to get some tracks on the calendar that maybe don't suit the cars for overtaking and stuff like that. I mean, mention it, Monaco is one of them. We know going into Monaco that it's never going to be a massive overtaking fest, but there are other parts to the that you can sort of learn to love those bits and sort of maybe see past the overtaking thing.
For me, it's like it's like another Hungary, really, where it feels like you could get something. I mean, I said it at the start that at the start of the race, I was thinking the very same thing, that it could be a dull race with not really much happening, or it could be absolutely bonkers. And, you know, it only takes like a couple of safety cars. I still can't believe the weekend, how it panned out, that we didn't get a single safety car after people going off on gravel on the track. They were red flagging the session like every 10 minutes, it felt like. But it's one of those things where all that race would have taken is maybe a safety car and Max not knowing whether to pit for new tires, or and the people behind him being on softer tires, and you might have seen, you know, a bit more action.
Well, safety car when Bottas was leading.
Yeah, exactly. It can change the whole game. I mean, Monza 2020 is a perfect example, and I'd even say as far as like Hungary as well. Like, you didn't see loads of overtaking in those races, and it was really difficult to pass. That's what made the Alonso Hamilton battle so good. You just need the pack shuffling a little bit from a safety car, which didn't happen. But for me, Zandvoort is going to be one of those races where, yeah, maybe next year it could be either boring again or absolute carnage. And then, you know, it's almost like a 50-50 chance of being processional or absolutely incredible, because you as soon as you get like shuffled around in the pack, like you could have those moments like you saw with Alonso and Hamilton at Hungary.
I want to throw out there, Tommy, that maybe you jinxed the race, because firstly, you predicted a chaotic race, Gasly winning.
It was all part of the Max Verstappen win plan.
Yeah, that's the thing. That, unfortunately, people don't understand when we submit the predictions, you always predict things that you don't think is going to happen, which kind of ruins the point of predictions, to be honest.
No, it's not that I don't think it's going to happen. I did genuinely think that...
You got close with your Vettel prediction in Hungary.
Exactly. I could see it being another race.
That's
like
the problem.
That.
You told everybody it was going to be carnage, and it was a zero safety car race.
Yeah.
No red flag. I think they said it was like the first time we hadn't had a red flag in like three races or something. So.
Yeah, wow.
Well done, Tommy. To be fair, a clean... We needed a calm, composed, normal race.
Yeah.
Just to kind of calm us down a little bit. We can't expect it every single race. The expectations are through the roof. Zandvoort was very much F1 hasn't really changed.
They can drive a full race distance as well. We've got to see cars on a track, and the championship is looking mega as well.
Spicy. Right, let's move on to my three-word race review. Bottas is innocent. Sounds
he
like
committed a murder.
Committed a crime. Yeah, exactly. obviously, there's that whole debacle around the fastest lap and all that good stuff. But, you know, people claiming that maybe he's doing it out of spite because he, you know, hasn't got this Mercedes contract, which by, you know, if you've been living under a rock, it seems as though it's very much 99% George Russell that's going to Mercedes next year, which is crazy to think. And it's become the worst kept secret in the paddock. But of course, you know, with Bottas then taking the fastest lap, even though he went purple sector one, purple sector two, and then eased off, he still took the fastest lap because of just the pure pace difference on completely fresh tires and being able to smash a lap time out. And and then he came out and said, didn't he, that he was just playing about, which was a very strange phrase to kind of say, or something along those lines. I don't think Bottas would have done it out of spite. I mean, he moved out of the way very quickly for Hamilton when he was on the charge against Verstappen, which he didn't have to do, especially if he's just lost his Mercedes contract. He didn't have to do it. But of course, I guess on the flip side, Bottas still wants to show that he's a team player and he wants to stay in Formula One. So he's not going to start sort of throwing.
Breaking news.
What?
No.
Alfa Romeo announced Valtteri Bottas to join the team in 2022 on a multi-year deal.
No.
Has that literally just happened now?
Are you
serious? I've just gone on to F1.com, happened 12 minutes ago. I've just gone on to F1.com to see get the results up, and it's come up on the front page.
What? When did it get released?
Oh, there you go. Ago. Yeah, it's just popped up on my phone. Valtteri Bottas to Alfa Romeo.
Well, there's a piece of breaking news.
Wow.
Live on the podcast.
Live on the podcast.
Okay, we return to the WTF1 podcast after literally starting to talk about Bottas and me saying that he's innocent, lovely man, et cetera, to find out he's going to Alfa Romeo, which is very, very big news. So we've sorted that. Let's continue with the questions. And this one is from I_love_Canada2. Does Valtteri going for the fastest lap, even though Mercedes asked him not to go for it, basically confirm that he won't be driving for them next year? Yes.
I think it might.
Yeah, I think it might.
But as I just tweeted, actually, I think that it's fair play from him because he clearly knew going into that race that he was not going to be racing for Mercedes next year.
I think he's known for a very long time.
And oh no, I mean, George said that he didn't know where he was racing for,
that's rubbish. That's absolutely rubbish.
I think now you look back at the thing. One thing that was actually quite interesting when we were in the paddock was we got to hear some, we got to hear some of the paddock goss and chat and stuff.
Oh yeah, the street waffles.
Yeah, the street waffles as well. No, but one of the things was that basically Netflix were with George Russell this weekend and they went into the Mercedes garage and staged like a contract signing thing. So that's going to be quite funny when they do that on Netflix. That's definitely not fake at all.
I love how Bottas as well, he posted an Insta story, didn't he, with a piece of paper and a pen, so that not that long ago,
and then I guess that would be his Alpha,
and he got like a new Mercedes car as well, didn't he?
That's his leaving present.
Thanks for everything. Okay, so that's the question very much answered. Don't need to really go into more about that. Pit Stop Strat asks, do you think that there was any way that Mercedes could have won this race strategy wise I think so. I think one, Bottas not letting Verstappen through as quickly as he did. I know he was on very old soft tyres, but on the literal first occasion that Max was close enough, he went deep into turn 12, 13, and that allowed Max to literally be on his tail before it even got onto the straight. So I feel like maybe Bottas not making that mistake would have at least allowed him to defend into that next lap. But also, yeah, the way they filtered Lewis out into that traffic, obviously, and I said it in Internet Special Reactions as well, they may have just rolled the dice a little bit there and thought, you know, if we get a really quick pit stop and maybe the back markers have quite a slow lap, then he can filter out just ahead and then it'll be, you know, a masterstroke and maybe he'll be with Max. But didn't happen. They look like, you know, plonkers for putting him out in traffic. And yeah, they could have done it better, but they were trying to win and I'm sure they didn't mean to put him out in traffic.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it was that situation and I felt like we were going to have another Barcelona where, you know, Perez is out of the mix, Bottas is there as the rear gunner for Hamilton, they can do whatever they like with the two cars, split the strategy, play into Lewis's hands, and I thought, you know, Max is in trouble here big time, having two Mercedes in the mix and he doesn't have his rear gunner. But instead, yeah, they bottled the strategy a little bit. I mean, it's a gamble that ultimately didn't pay off, wasn't it? And like you say, they looked a bit silly, but you know, they had to go for it. And if they'd have pulled it off, they'd look like geniuses. But they didn't, and they look like mugs. But that's Formula One, isn't it? With strategy.
Like, what is it? Gunter says, look like rock stars or something a bit ruder.
W's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't remember what that word is.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, Max's like launch of the start was brilliant. Like he was leading by 1.7 seconds at the end of lap one. Like he was sort of racing off into the distance, but had Mercedes played it better and kept their cool and stuff like that, then yeah, like you say, I think there was potential for them to win this race. I mean, Max has looked strong here all weekend, but never say never, you know, it can change. We've seen it happen in other races, how quickly things can turn around. And yeah, although Bottas was needed to hold people back and he didn't really do that. He sort of had a few corners and was like, oh no, I've gone wide. I'm going to let Max through. Sorry, guys. It could well have been that maybe his tyres were literally shot. And he didn't have a chance to, or like you say, maybe he knew this announcement was coming today and thought, well, I'm sick of being a nice guy. but I think it is probably just a case of his tyres were gone. I don't think, I'd be very surprised if now the Alpha deal is announced and everything like that, Bottas is going to rock up and be like, you know, I hate you, Mercedes, because he speaks just like that as well.
Does he?
And all this kind of, he does, yeah. He sounds just like that when he's not putting on.
That's a good finish, actually. I hate you, Mercedes.
But yeah, I did enjoy the Bottas, please, abort fastest lap. Literally 5 seconds later, Bottas fastest lap. I thought that was quite amusing. But whether that was done in like a malicious sense, I don't think so. And, you know, it's fortunate that Lewis was able to take the point back in the sense of his, you know, defence for the championship, because it could well have been that we had, you know, a yellow flag or something like that disrupt the final few laps and he wouldn't have been able to get that point. But
I think even more crazy is if you'd have had a Silverstone 2020 situation where, you know, Max got a puncture and you think, and you know, he's cruising across the line and he's got a 28 second lead, you'd have been like, and you know, say Hamilton's catching him but finishes behind, you'd have been in the situation where you're going, well, Hamilton would have won that race if Bottas hadn't done fastest lap. So it's fine margins, really, isn't it?
But the thing
ultimately
is,
it's nothing, but it could have been.
Apparently, Lewis was always going to pit, though. That's
yeah, but he wouldn't have done, would he? If
no, but I think he would have. He didn't know that Bottas pitted and gone for fastest lap. He was doing it to cover off anybody that decides to pit behind.
Yeah,
because
I guess
the difference,
like Gasly or whoever. Could
yeah,
have done
exactly,
it,
yeah, exactly.
With his tires,
I think there was at least a 2 second improvement from what I think Hamilton did, like an 11.0 on that final lap, maybe even quicker. I can't remember exactly, and I think Bottas had done a 12.7, and that was still fastest lap. So clearly, there was a big gap that any team could have jumped into, and he was like, I need that point.
It's the orange smoke, it's the cars quicker.
Moving on to Katie's three-word race review.
Mine was lots of struggles, because although we saw lots of people having good days, there were quite a lot of drivers that were not happy bunnies at the end of that race. Especially Carlos Sainz, who was just, I've not really seen him in such a mood, really. I mean, obviously he lost the position to Alonso in the final few laps and stuff like that, and compared to other races this year, like in France, those Ferraris completely dropped back. They had such bad issues with their tire wear, and so for Carlos to finish, I think it was maybe P7 in the end, this is what I came on to check, and then Bottas goes and announces his deal. I thought he might be quite happy to get some points in the bag, but he really was not vibing with the Zandvoort pace that the cars were having. Same with the McLarens. Like, we saw them struggle, obviously, in quali. Ricciardo just about scraped through into Q3. Lando Norris out in Q2, which is the first time he's not made it into Q3 this year. And just generally, like, there seemed to be several teams that you'd think would be able to fight. I mean, Pierre Gasly, can we just take a moment to say what an amazing performance he had? And he seemed to just get the best out of his AlphaTauri. But other teams that I thought might be up there, they're kind of just ended up following the leader and just driving around and having a lovely leisurely Sunday drive. I say leisurely Sunday drive, like Zandvoort is a difficult track to drive around. And it is incredibly challenging on the body and stuff like that. But yeah, I just, loads of the drivers after the race, when I was looking at like headlines and stuff, there weren't many people that seemed to be like, yeah, I can take lots of positives from this. And then we've got to talk about the Haas drivers, because although that's something else that didn't get picked up on telly, I don't think. I mean, honestly, TV direction was
at
the moment.
I do remember seeing that on at least a replay.
Yeah.
Of course, they wouldn't have shown that live because they're the Haas. But yeah, I remember seeing it.
I was too busy with my head and on my phone during the race doing tweets and stuff. But yeah, like, they had just really... not besties. Not that they were besties in the start, but like really not at the moment. I think they've said that they've got rules in place where one weekend, like, Mazepin might be number one in the garage, and then the next weekend it's Schumacher's turn. But these drivers, they're more fighting for pride now than anything. And so if Schumacher is quicker, Mazepin isn't happy, and he like will not let Mick by and vice versa. And I think Mick Schumacher finally broke yesterday when speaking to Natalie Pinkham, because he was basically saying, like, Mazepin's just got this thing in his head where he has to be ahead of me at all times, and it doesn't really make any sense. And yeah, we'll see how that relationship plays out for the rest of the season, because I think both drivers have multi-year Haas contracts, but we'll wait and see how long it is before the Mick Schumacher gets promoted to Alfa Romeo, because I feel like that's more of a when than an if kind of scenario. So, but yeah, that was my three-word race review.
Lots of struggles and then that. Yeah, it wasn't a rant though, so that's fine. It was still Katie's corner, but it wasn't a rant.
Shorter than a rant.
Yes, I'm just trying to remember all the things you said. Gasly, yes, fourth place. He was unbelievable. You know, just dominated that position and was, you know, home clear and dry. As for signs, yeah, obviously, you know, it's difficult to really kind of tell the lap times and whatnot, but generally just looking and seeing Leclerc go past and then waiting an absolute age for signs to then come past. I think it was probably more the fact that he wasn't with Leclerc in terms of pace. And of course, you know, your teammate is your biggest comparison. It's the most, you know, you've got the same machinery most of the time. And to be beaten, I think, comprehensively by your teammate on pace, that's probably what hurts him more than, you know, getting seventh. I mean, I'm sure, you know, in France, both cars were really, really struggling. So I can see why maybe in his head, he's like, well, it wasn't my fault, it was the car. Whereas if Leclerc's doing well, he probably struggles quite a bit. So I can understand that. But yeah, it's interesting. I think Zandvoort's probably quite an irritating track, especially on lap one, you know, where everyone's jostling for position. There's all kinds of carbon fiber going everywhere. And yeah, I don't think it, as much as it's seen as a roller coaster, I don't think it's particularly flowing. It feels like quite an awkward track to drive, as much as it's, you know, really exciting to watch. You know, there's quite a lot of awkward sort of, you know, low speed, medium speed corners. And
second sector, especially. Like, yeah. The first sector definitely.
And the racing line doesn't seem to be that obvious either. Like, it's like waiting on the apex for so long and then getting on the pack. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I'm speaking from someone who's done sim racing around Zandvoort, but that's about it. That's my experience. But that's kind of how I understood it.
Yeah, another person, I guess, to mention the struggles was Giovinazzi, who had an amazing qualifying. And we were saying, you know, finally, is this his moment to prove? But where did he actually finish in the end?
Out of points, didn't he?
He had a nightmare, didn't he?
He had crashed into the back of a puncture as
Alpine,
well.
Didn't he? Didn't he crash into the back of the Alpine and lost some of his front wing?
Yeah, in the chaos of turn one. Or at least bumped into.
Katie, don't look mystified. I'm relying on you.
I'm trying to think. There's so much that happened on that first lap. Yeah, but
it was crazy in that first sector.
It was the
fast
right hander.
I think, was it Alonso that went into the back of Giovinazzi? Because Giovinazzi braked too soon, but I could be wrong. I should know this.
You carry on talking. I'm just going to.
Just going to have a little Google. I'm just trying to figure out where Giovinazzi finished. But yeah, I know. I think he probably could have finished in the points had they not had a puncture. And then it just seemed not to go their way, which annoyingly happens quite a bit when things seem to be looking right. Like in Imola this year with Kimi, and he looks set for points. And then it's just like little things that the team have maybe messed up, or Kimi's not done right. And in the end, he got his penalties and got pushed out the points. So it's frustrating, but hey, Giovinazzi starting P7. Well done, mate. You did something noteworthy.
Well done. It went all down the toilet by the end of lap one. Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Bless him.
I'm just seeing now what happened to Giovinazzi. Here we go then. Yeah, he crashed into the back of an Alpine. I knew it. So he gets squeezed by, I believe that's Sainz. Then the Alonso Alpine comes through, Alonso. Alonso gets a bit of a swapper, and then Antonio just drives into the back of him and loses some carbon fibre. And my God, it was so close between Alonso and Ocon as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Going into turn three at lap one, that could have ended in tears. But then Alonso was like, I'm on the high line. And I think it was Jenson Button made a good point that, you know, everyone had been taking the high line in, you know, normal laps. But as soon as lap one happened, everyone was like, low line, I'm going to go on the low line. And Alonso was like, I'm going to go around the normal way, and got a lovely sweeping move. I love how the next highlight is pretty much lap 21 after that one. So, and that's a pit stop. So, yeah. But then again, the highlights may be missing all the overtakes that we didn't see on the broadcast either. But there you go. Next question. RBR 533. Opinions on the McLaren strategy. It seemed very messy and clearly prioritised Norris over Danny Ric. I made a weird noise in my mouth then. Obviously, from what I've seen, it was the fact that Danny Ric held up the pack and essentially allowed Norris to slot in to the gap. The fact that, you know, it's Zandvoort, it's very difficult to overtake. And yeah, it's interesting. I guess Danny Ric, he did lose a couple of positions at the start. And obviously that made his race a little bit worse. And the fact that he was probably that far down and not being able to make progress, McLaren then made the decision, right, why don't we get both cars in the points here? Especially with the fact that they had to damage limitate. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Damage limit. I feel like Lando Norris in the interview. And yeah, it makes sense because why not? If Danny Ric's not being able to get forward, he may as well try and get both cars in the points when, you know, Ferrari ended up finishing fifth and seventh and you know, got a decent haul of points. So it's a shame because obviously Norris had a dreadful qualifying, which put him out of position. And Danny Ric, you know, was kind of struggling a little bit in terms of, you know, being able to move forward. So who knows? I still feel like Danny hasn't got the absolute control of that car at the moment.
With Danny Ric, it thought like this could be the turning point where, you know, Lando's had an absolute shocker in qualifying. And then Danny Ric's had a decent quali and not a worldie, but, you know, he's got into Q3 and done all right. So it must be, yeah, disappointing for him that, you know, he essentially ended up with the bad strategy and his whole race was just holding everyone up for Lando, which...
It screams number one Lando as well.
It screams number one Lando. And, you know, we've said this so many times, but I really thought this would be the other way around. You know, Danny Ricciardo is coming in to be team leader in that team. And if you'd have said 13 races in, Lando's P3 and he's dropped out P4 in the championship and Danny Ric's struggling and essentially his whole strategy is just to help Lando, you'd be like, what is happening at McLaren? I don't think anyone would have predicted that at the start of the year.
No.
Yeah, not great.
It is a shame. I mean, as much as Formula One is an individual sport in that each driver wants to do the best that they can and be number one, it is also a team sport. So I can see why McLaren, if they thought maybe points was going to be a challenge, that they would prioritize Norris, because like you say, he was P3 in championship, now moved to P4, and those points are vital and stuff. But yeah, for Ricciardo, he had a pretty shaky start. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the clip, but
yes,
when they're getting ready to the waving, and like that must be terrifying as a driver to think.
I know, he was just waving to us in the grandstand. There was nothing wrong.
Oh, he was like, oh, guys, yeah. Okay.
He spotted us.
Yeah, he did. He spotted us.
Matt's red t-shirt in all the orange.
Yeah.
And your Max cape. He was like, yes, they're for me.
But in the end, he had to do a left-hand launch, which is slightly different and probably throws you off. And as a result, Russell got past him at the start, but he did end up making up a position on that one. So something good. And then his car started smoking. In literally going down the start-finish straight.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, I didn't think Russell was
literally, Russell, I think Russell just got a good launch and Ricciardo was a little bit like...
I was going
like,
to say, because I didn't think thinking, Russell was that high up. Yeah, he must have lost positions over the next few laps after that.
Yeah, but I mean, Ricciardo's lap one, considering that he had all that faff at the beginning, was a pretty good lap one. I will give him that. But yeah, it just didn't seem in too much of a good place after the race. I mean, also in the first few, we had Russell on radio saying that Ricciardo was spitting out smoke and oil leaks and stuff like that, which didn't turn out to be a big issue, which is a good thing. But yeah, still his team radio after the race, I had a listen, not the best positive vibe, shall we say. He was leaving like 20 second pauses of absolute silence between him and his race engineer Tom Stallard, and giving pretty much one word answers. So he was upset with the team, which, I mean, if you'll expect, if you think you could have got points and you've been put to one side, but that's Formula One, and if they can prioritize one driver over another, then
did they swap the two either, or did Lando end up
Lando finished up ahead because we thought at one point that he looked like he was slowing down to let him back through, but that didn't happen.
Maybe Lando's, I don't know, I actually don't know. Yeah. But anyway,
Lando was one of the last to pit, to be fair. Like, he did a good job managing his tyres, but
I was just wondering, just purely because Danny Ric was behind him, wasn't he? He was 9th and 10th, was it, in the end? So, you know, would they have swapped it back because Danny Ric let him through? You know, it's an interesting point. But, yeah, it's sad times for Danny Ric. I don't want him to lose that shine, you know, that lovely Danny Ric jokey self. He was joking around with the paddock, to be fair, wasn't he? He got a Max cape before the start of the race, which was amazing. But I want him to continue to be that sort of bright star in terms of at least comedy in the F1 paddock. Right, Tommy, press the button. Did we bring? We brought the button. We brought the button.
Yeah, yeah. It probably won't play a jingle, so you'll just be here.
No, it's time for ABC the EF1.
Thanks, Kermit.
Kermit.
Okay. Remember, you can vote too on ABC the EF1. Visit WTF1.com after the race, and you can vote too. Let's start with Lewis Hamilton.
A.
And an A from the fans as well. Lovely. We're off to a great start. Valtteri Bottas. B. Low B.
Yeah, it's a low B because, he's a lot more on the pace, but still a way off.
But it's a B all the same, I think. Yeah, and I think C's a bit too harsh.
Yeah, he scrapes a B because he was in there.
He still finished on the podium.
Yeah, exactly. And he, although it didn't ultimately pay off and he maybe lost a little bit more than he should have, he was still there to at least give Hamilton the chance to try something a bit different to beat Max. So, yeah.
Ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
B for Bottas, Katie?
B for Bottas.
Lovely. And a B from the fans. Max Verstappen, A star.
Easy.
And an A star from the fans. We're all in agreement so far. Sergio Perez.
Until now.
I would go with a B. I would.
Oh,
what would you go for?
I'd go for a low C. Where did he finish? 8th. Yeah. I mean, he's finishing 8th in a car that won the race and lapped the entire field apart from the Mercedes. And I know it's incredible to watch him fly through the field, but he was there for a reason. I know they missed the kind of lap, but you know, he still put himself in that position, so it's a C for me.
The sassometer is off the charts.
Ding, ding, ding.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Right, Katie, what are you going for?
I am going to go with Tommy with a C for Perez. I think he shouldn't have won driver of the day. I think him overtaking those cars, he's in a faster car, and we've seen him before that he is pretty good at starting from the back and overtaking and getting into good position, but he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He shouldn't have been knocked out in Q1. I know he had penalties and stuff like that for having to change elements to his car, but it shouldn't be that Red Bull is getting knocked out in Q1. That is the bare minimum to get through to at least Q2. Should be in Q3, should be starting front row of the grid with Max Verstappen because the car is quick enough. And although I'm very grateful for Checo for his ability to overtake cars and make for some entertainment, it's not good. Not good at all. I thought we were going to get another race.
He also compromised himself at the start with that lockup and had to do the other pit stop, which was quite crucial because the pace he had, you know, maybe he could have been 5th, 6th or something. When the title is as close as it is, he needs every point he can get, really, doesn't he?
So my understanding with the B is that Mazepin's defending was a bit late, and that's what actually caused the Perez lockup. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on that lockup. And also, I guess in qualifying, he missed the line by like 2 seconds in Q1. Yes, his first lap should be better. Don't get me wrong, 100%. But I guess it's also down to the team in order to, you know, the placement of the car. And I know he got some traffic, didn't he, on his out lap, but that's the stuff that the team should be, you know, pretty much on him from the get-go, you know, and having a more of a buffer so that in Q1, you don't run out of time. Like, there's more than enough time in Q1 to get a few laps in. So
he desperately needs a solid race. I know Hungary wasn't his fault, but that's three in a row now. Like, so was it Hungary? Yeah, he got punted. And then, so no points.
Spa crashed
on the way to the grid, so no points. And then this, which was, you know, he's clearly got amazing pace because he showed it with his overtake. So he just needs to be at the front and qualify.
Where did he finish in Silverstone? Because obviously he spun out during the sprint
race. So,
he might not have even.
Yeah, because he was pitted, wasn't he, to go and take fastest lap away from Hamilton.
Yeah, so he finished 11th. So
he didn't get any points there either. And it's so crucial. Like, the Constructors' Championship is close. And if Perez isn't scoring.
16th.
Yeah, exactly.
Silverstone.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. And that was just purely to take away a point so that they could go for the drivers. It's, you know. So I do understand that his role in the team is very much number two, but he needs to also be there in that fight. I think B, just purely because some of the overtakes he did were awesome. And, you know, they were absolutely on the limit. Millimeter perfect. Of course, the Norris one spilled over a little bit. That was more Lando pushing him, in my opinion, than Perez doing anything wrong. I think Norris just understeered, and then that collision happened. And I know a lot of Perez fans were not happy with Lando, as you'd imagine, because they came together quite a bit. But yeah, there you go. And the fans gave Perez a B. Lando Norris, very difficult weekend, to be honest. And without Danny Ric being his scapegoat, he probably would have been finished out the points. So I think it's a C.
Yeah, so low C for me, which is rare for Lando. Just,
that's the problem. That's our expectations as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you mean. The expectation is there with Lando, and it just was really poor in qualifying, which was a big surprise. And I agree with you. I think the Perez move was mainly his fault, and he needs to be careful squeezing him like that, because, you know, another couple of penalty points and he's on 10 and he's two away from a race ban.
Was it deemed as a racing incident, that Perez Norris?
Yeah, investigated.
Interesting.
I think the stewards noted it, but no further action.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say he's fairly fortunate not to pick up something, or even if it's not clear cut, you know, you have to be maybe a bit more cautious when you're on 8 penalty points, because yeah, you can't be like squeezing someone, because if you watch exactly the same move, obviously you don't want to see drivers completely give up. But, you know, Daniel Ricciardo is given space around the outside there. He knows that Perez is so much quicker and he is trying to fight it. But I'm not a fan of, like, you know, like squeezing someone out where you're not giving them any track to be alongside them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he needs to not do that, and because he's got a lot of penalty points.
He does. Katie, what's your grade?
For Norris, yeah, another C. It was a fairly average weekend, wasn't it? Or maybe even a little bit below average.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we've come to expect quite a lot from Lando.
Lando's average is very high at the moment.
This is true, yeah. So a bit of a boring weekend for both McLarens, not really having any moments of like any standout moments, really. The kind of, just despite the fact they were in orange, they sort of faded into the background and other people took the headlines. So yeah, disappointing really for both McLarens.
Definitely. I think Danny Ric probably also deserves a C, just purely because of what happened.
Yeah.
It would have been a B had he finished like seventh, you know, and it would have been a decent performance. But unfortunately, you know, he was used by McLaren, but also lost those positions, you know, maybe through no fault of his own because of the start procedure, but still can't really give him a B. Just the pace maybe wasn't there to move forward. So happy with that?
Definitely a C, yeah.
Yeah, C.
Okie doke. And the fans gave him a C. Charles Leclerc. Decent performance with the Ferrari. Completely trounced Sainz, in my opinion. I don't actually know what the finishing gap was between Leclerc and Sainz, but I think it was a significant margin between the two. And of course, Sainz got overtaken by Alonso as well. So I feel like the Ferrari didn't really have much more pace in it, to be honest. So it's a high B, but I don't think I can give an A for that.
Yeah, I'm the same, a B. It's not his greatest driver in the world, but it's like a good solid drive from him that's, you know, like impressive that he's picked up a lot of points, especially when McLaren did so badly.
Katie? Yeah, I think literally echoing both what you said. I think it's a solid drive, and you know, nothing phenomenal, but P5 is a good haul of points, and I'm sure he'll take it.
So I was just trying to look up what the actual
and
gap
Max
was.
Slapped
and
everyone.
Yeah, Max slapped everyone up to Gasly. So don't know what the actual gap was. So that's great. So yeah, B for Leclerc. I'm going to give Sainz. Oh, it's difficult. I don't feel like he deserves the same grade as Leclerc, but
Leclerc's is a high B and Sainz is a low B.
Yeah, except that's exactly my problem.
We don't do highs and lows on this podcast, boys.
It's going to have to be a B, but yeah, I don't feel like that's fair, but it is. It's the grading.
Yeah. He's scraping a B for me.
Yeah.
He's literally on the pass mark with a B. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to grade Sainz the same as Norris and Ricciardo.
Yeah, that's my thinking as well.
Agreed, yeah. So middle ground.
So the fans gave both Leclerc and Sainz a B. Sebastian Vettel had a little spin, didn't he? The memes came out again about Spinola. Aston Martin just been nowhere this weekend, have they really?
So anonymous.
Just rubbish. Where did Vettel finish in the end?
13th, started 15th.
It's just rubbish, isn't it? It's just, it's a D.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, D. Easy D. Yeah.
And the fans gave Vettel a D as well. Lance Stroll. He had quite a funny team radio exchange with Brad around the pit confirm OK button and an argument as to whether or not the pit confirm actually meant the OK button. And Brad was like, "You're pressing the pit confirm button." And he was like,
Brad. Brad.
Yeah, quite interesting. Does Stroll deserve a better grade than Vettel? Probably. I'm going to give him a C.
Yeah, C as well.
C.
Okay, that's C from the fan as well.
One fan.
The fans gave Stroll a C as well. I'm very tired. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Pierre Gasly, A star.
A star. Yeah. Oh, Tommy.
Yeah.
Just because he trounced your boy Tsunoda, you feel
No. Again, I kind of want to see the... Was he miles ahead of Leclerc?
Yes.
Okay, fair, A star.
Dominated people.
So he
deserves it. We haven't seen that many Gasly performances like that this season, have we? That's what we kind of got accustomed to last year. But this year, he's been obviously a consistent point scorer.
Especially
but
in qualifying.
That was like a,
qualifying's been great, but sometimes drops back a bit.
Exactly. That's what I think anyway.
Baku.
I mean, there's not been as many as maybe we've come to expect, winning at Monza, etc. But we go back to Monza, who knows? Yuki Tsunoda. It's a D.
That's an easy D.
You two looking at each other. Yeah, a D for Tsunoda, I think. That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. And the fans gave him a D as well. Alonso finished P6. Very good performance.
A.
Very lucky not to have wiped out his teammate at the start, but we move. He survived. A.
So good seeing. I can't wait to see what Alonso can do next year when hopefully the grid is closer.
Yeah.
Because he's looking like he's on it again, and it's very exciting.
So we're going to go with an A?
A. Yeah.
Okay, and the fans gave him an A. Esteban Ocon wasn't too far behind Alonso. I felt like they were together for quite a lot of the race, but then Ocon ended up finishing quite a few positions back. Was it P9? Where did he finish?
Ocon finished ninth.
Yeah, good. I was looking at you for the result, and you were like... thank you, Tommy, for your input. I think it's a B for Ocon.
Yeah,
I think so. It's another driver that just seemed to disappear off into the distance. But then we did touch upon that with TV direction, just focusing on the top three the whole time. But these stories were not told throughout the rest of the grid.
They were not. The fans gave Ocon a B. Robert Kubica, I'm giving him an A for the fact that he's just rocked up, absolutely no practice, no anything. And we beat the Williams, didn't he? And the Haas as
finished
well.
Finished 15th.
Yeah, I think it's an unbelievable performance from Robert.
Yeah, exactly. If you think of how much he got roasted at Williams and, he's still driving, obviously, with that horrendous injury, plus the fact that, he's come into the car and we've seen how difficult it is when you don't get any free practice and just jumping into that car. I mean, it's the first F1 car he's driven, I believe, since he left Williams, right, or something.
He also says that in the race. He does the FP1
in the race. Yeah.
So,
you know, for him to jump in and be that good, I genuinely expected him to be like racing the Haases. So when he was doing.
And
decent,
he finished only a few seconds behind Giovinazzi as well, which is an unbelievable performance,
considering
where Antonio started. Of course, he had his own problems, but unbelievable from Rob. I think he said it was the first time in 11 years that he felt like he could actually race, which is such a nice thing.
That's such a nice way. Like, even if obviously like Kimi comes back, that's such a nicer way for Kubica to end his long career than what happened at Williams.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's very good.
So A's for Kubica. Happy with that, Katie?
Yeah, I'm going to vote with my heart rather than my head. I'm going to give them A.
Oh, I'm voting with my head and my heart. and the fans gave Kubica a B, which is quite frankly disgusting.
I made a whole new graphic for that and everything. I hope the fans appreciated that on the website. Because I had to change it from the Kimi one. You didn't even know that.
We had an influx of messages.
Knew this.
About...
Yes. Congratulations, Katie. Well done.
<That's awesome. laughs>
Next up, Giovinazzi. B.
You say B like that. I mean, that's better than he's had before. He'll probably
take
a B.
But like, considering where he started, he was in the pound seats for an A.
Oh,
and
hurts.
Where did he finish, Tommy?
Yeah, so he finished 14th. He got damaged at the start.
He was quite unlucky.
He's unlucky because of
the puncher as well. The back end, wasn't it? So I think I'm going to give him a B. Tommy, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a high B.
High B.
I think he was extremely unlucky. It could have been his best result. I'd be a bit gutted.
Casey?
I think B as well.
And the fans gave him a B. George Russell got a 5-second speeding penalty. Also nearly binned it, didn't he, at one point? Can't remember exactly when, but remember seeing that. I think it's a C.
Did he? Oh, late gearbox trouble. Okay. I was wondering why he finished 17th. I don't think I sort of
retired.
Caught
towards
that.
The end.
Right. Okay. Speeding pit lane penalty. Yeah. He scrapes a C, almost a D. Like ruining his race with a silly thing like a stop go penalty is.
Wow. Tommy has spoken.
Not good when you're about to go to Mercedes any second.
Yeah, I think we've got such high expectations as well for Russell now, especially in these last few races. In his last qualifying, he managed to put it on the front row. So, I think a low C. I'd be tempted to go for a D for the incident that he did have in quali, where he obviously didn't damage the car that much, but did bring out the red flags. I know it's not George Russell's fault that the FIA were a bit premature with their red flags, but... still just a bit clumsy really from him pretty much all this weekend. Maybe it's just he's getting too excited about this announcement that it's probably, I keep refreshing the homepage to see if it's coming out.
I guess it's basically like, you know, that your last day of renting a car, you just, you know, absolutely rag it, you know, you're not ever going to see it ever again. So just send it. I think George does deserve at least a C, if not a D. But I'm going to go with the C. And the fans gave him a C as well. Nicholas Latifi, not sure what happened with him, but let's go with a C.
Yeah,
happy with that,
Kitty? C.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah, just. What did I just give Russell? Did I give him a C or a D?
You gave him a C, I think.
C, okay. Yeah, I mean, Latifi also binned it in qualifying. So if we're going with that logic, I should probably give him a similar grade, but I'll go with a low C. But
I love how we've literally gone with high and lows throughout this entire ABC F1. I love it.
I can't deal with it.
Moving on, Nikita Mazepin. It's a very solid E, if not F, to be honest, from what happened with Mick Schumacher and whatnot. You know, it's half a second off his teammate in qualifying.
Made him
crash into, well, caused the late move, which caused his teammate to lose a front wing or had to get it replaced. I think he was quite dangerous driving with a few other drivers as well out on track. So it might even be an F, to be honest. I'm going to give an F.
I'm going to go for E.
I'll go for an E as well. There's quite a funny clip of Perez passing Mazepin. Says something on the radio about him and his driving style, which I shall not repeat.
Oh, Okay, fair. The fans gave him an F. Shock. And finally, Mick Schumacher. Couldn't really tell.
Average C, so like Latifi.
Yeah, just give him a C. Couldn't really tell, as he was out of the contention very early because of Mazepin. So happy with that, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Lovely. And the fans gave him a C. Let's move on to our predictions. So I went with Dutch fans cause interruption to a session due to flares. That did not happen, although nearly happened, I think. Half a point.
No.
I'm joking. And Perez podium. Wow, it went well, didn't it?
That was ambitious. Well.
Yeah, I think you won. Good. You know, I tried to be, you know, a bit ambitious, a bit, you know, hopeful. That, and it was a rubbish weekend. Tommy.
Hamilton and Verstappen controversy.
Nope.
Didn't happen. And the ultimate jinx of the weekend, Norris top three in qualifying.
Wow.
Worst qualies ever had.
Katie basically just went with, you know, people will breathe. Go on.
I said Verstappen pole. So 1 point. Yeah,
well done. Well done.
And then I said Perez finishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Perez finishes outside top 10, which, had he not have been such an overtaking demon, could have happened. So I'm taking half a point.
No, you're not. Well done for the 1 point, Katie. The fans, James 24 says Williams third scoring race in a row. Nope. Blatantly, Lewis, no rain. For the love of God, no rain. That is correct. And Brown 157A signs on the podium. No, lots of jinxing going on in predictions for the Dutch Grand Prix. Predictions for the Italian Grand Prix. I have gone for Norris podium and at least four DNFs. And a bonus prediction for me is people will breathe. Thank you. I'll take a point.
Stop.
So those are my two. Tommy.
I've gone for every car starts on the same tyres for the race because we've got the sprint race, which I've almost forgotten about now. And Alonso, top five in the race.
You've become a big Alonso fanboy, haven't you, now?
I am.
Okay.
Loving it.
Katie?
I have gone for a Lance Stroll top five finish in the race. Okay. And then I've gone for Leclerc. Big prediction this. Leclerc front row for the sprint quali slash race, whatever it's called. So basically in what I would call proper qualifying, so what will be on Friday, he'll be top two. So he'll start
Saturday.
You just said sprint quali.
Is it quali or what's
So he'll be on the front row of the grid for sprint quali.
So he'll qualify.
So in actual hot lap territory, you think Ferrari are going to be on the front row?
Well, I had my last one for Verstappen gets a pole and I got told off, so I thought I'd go crazy.
I know, I love it. You've taken the point, put it in the bag, and then for this one,
and then just like, throwing it away again.
Absolutely ridiculous. You never know.
Can't
win with me. I'm sorry. No, well done for those nice out there predictions. And apparently there's another one at the bottom.
I'm adding these in. These are for fan ones. I forgot to do it
as we speak. So we're going to do this very slowly indeed. The first fan prediction comes from at Levicious X. Verstappen won't qualify in the top three for the first time this season. Ooh. Okay. At MXRKen _ new winner this season. So not Max, Lewis, Checo or Esteban. That sounds weird to say, doesn't it? And finally, from somebody who I'm waiting to see at EdekGB, Ricardo beats Norris. There you go. Lovely stuff. Katie, final thoughts?
My final thoughts is I was going to say get ready for a crazy week of announcements, but they've already started. So I'm not very happy because I wish they would wait until after we've done the podcast. But
I know, right? It's all going to kick off. It's all going to kick off in the next week, isn't it?
It is.
And you'll be all on the WTF1.com website. Check her out right there. Lovely. And Tommy, you're in person. I can see you panic as I ask you final thoughts.
I am tired. We've got, we've got an exciting video coming up. For people very wondering why we're tired.
We're also wearing the same shirts as we were yesterday at the Grand Prix.
You'll find out.
Filming reasons, not because we are unhygienic.
Well, it's a good excuse.
I think we'll go, yes, we are unhygienic.
Yeah,
it's like, that's nice.
Yeah, it's been... We've had very little sleep, so
and a lot of driving in a particular vehicle, which is very different to what we usually drive. That's all we're going
to
say.
So now.
We've put a teaser up on Instagram as well, haven't we?
Exactly
what's in the box. So look forward to that. We are on very little sleep, so I apologise if this whole podcast from myself and Tommy's side has been complete gobbledygook, but that's
wasn't probably much better from my side.
don't say that, Kate. You carried this with your knowledge of what's actually gone on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you everybody for watching and listening. Remember #WTF1podcast if you want to get involved in asking questions and so on. Kate is just having a bit of a ball. Lovely. Tommy's falling asleep. And that is pretty much it. We'll see you very soon. Quality watch along, podcast, et cetera, internet special reactions for the Italian Grand Prix coming up. We actually are going to be back home. Normal content will resume for the Italian Grand Prix as much as we might be actually entering Italy. But anyway, that's for another time. Bye!
Bye.
Sleep time. I wish it was sleep time. It's not sleep time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.